You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to a fresh game week here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Michael Thomas should be on his way back. Alvin Kamara is rolling. He is having an incredible season. Drew Brees and Emmanuel Sanders are finally connecting. The defense could use some work, but still a lot of reasons to be excited about the Saints this year. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. On today's episode, after we enjoyed the bye week as best as we could, it's time to get back to the game grind. The Michael Thomas saga continues, but finally shifts to a bit of a positive note after he crashed a video interview with Cam Jordan to announce his return this weekend. We'll open up today's show by discussing exactly what Michael Thomas brings back to the Saints if he does indeed come back this week. Then we'll take a look at the NFC South after a pair of division rival wins. How does each game so far help or hurt New Orleans and the Saints? And finally, I did an article last week about quarter season Saints awards. So let's go through them here on the show. I'll give you some of your responses as well. And we'll talk about Alvin Kamara, who is my NFL Offensive Player of the Year. But is he the Saints MVP for me? He's not. I'll tell you who it is, though, in the third segment. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL podcast. I got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas has been in the news a ton the last couple weeks, but unfortunately not for the reasons he's used to in terms of his production and play on the field. But according to Michael Thomas himself, as he crashed a Cam Jordan first take interview, he's on his way back this week, and that will be incredibly important to the New Orleans Saints. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So obviously, this is exciting for any Saints fan, whether you are a fantasy owner maybe of Michael Thomas, or if you're just a fan of the team, because we've seen this team go out there and score 30 points a game. They have done that. They have put up over 400 yards just this past week up against the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday Night Football. But the team just hasn't looked the same. Things have felt a little bit more stagnant. Things have felt a little bit out of rhythm. You've seen some cohesion issues, some familiarity issues. All of that is expected to get better with the return of Michael Thomas. And there's one glaringly obvious reason why. If you look at the Saints so far here in 2020, before this week's set of games, before the week six slate of games, the Saints were the ninth fewest so far in the league in passing attempts on early downs outside of two-minute drills and garbage time. So on first and second downs, have been dominated by the New Orleans Saints, by Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray in the run game. That has started to lead to a few more three and outs than you're accustomed to, because if the defense plays the run well on first and second down, the defense gets that first second down win, and then third and long can be troublesome for any team in the NFL. So you want to be in better situations than that. And Michael Thomas always has made that a possibility for the Saints, that the offense can win on first and second down, not only on the ground by keeping it with Latavius Murray and Alvin Kamara, but adding that element of being able to go to the passing game and get a quick pass to Michael Thomas to gain, you know, to cut their yardage in half, to cut their yardage into just a third to that they have to proceed in order to extend their drive. He has been a key part of that. You look back at 2019, the New Orleans Saints had a 78% success rate when they went to Michael Thomas on first and eight through 10 yards. So essentially, in those early downs, as they got the ball, you saw them go to Michael Thomas 68 times in 2019 in that situation and have a 78% success rate. That's very good news for the Saints. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're picking up the first down or extending their drive immediately 78% of the time, but they're cutting their yardage in half, or they're trimming into their yardage. They're winning on first down with Michael Thomas when they go to him, and they went to him again 68 times in 2019 and first and long. You look at second and eight plus. So even beyond the 10-yard situation, let's say that they lose yardage on first down, coming back to MT on second and eight or longer has been another staple for the Saints. They did that 30 times in 2019 and did so to the tune of a similar success rate. So you can see that New Orleans right now, the way that they have built this team, which has been predicated a bit more on the run game than maybe Saints fans are accustomed to, and that might be to the really the glee of most Saints fans who want to see them lean on the run game, having the additional option of being able to go to Michael Thomas and having defenses have to be ready for that, right? They have to put their attention towards Michael Thomas on the field only helps all of those other elements, whether they be other receiver options or the run game, get even better in early down situations and deep into the game as well as Michael Thomas becomes more and more of a factor, gets more and more in rhythm with Drew Brees, and continues to find ways to complement and boost the production of the other players around him. If the Saints can get Michael Thomas back week seven as they expect, and as it sounds like Michael Thomas expects, as he shouted from the back of the room during Cam Jordan's interview, "I'll be back this week, flexing and having fun," not at all being the personality that has been described of him over the last couple of weeks, by the way. But if they get him back, he obviously adds a whole new level, whole new layer, and whole new element to the Saints offense that's already cooking, but now be a little bit extra spicy once Michael Thomas returns to the lineup. There's just a part of me that expects Michael Thomas to be at his absolute best, having now 5 weeks off since the last time that we saw him on the field, and going up against a familiar opponent with a weak secondary in the Carolina Panthers. And speaking of the Carolina Panthers, coming up next, we're going to talk about their loss yesterday and the other wins across the NFC South. How's the division shaken up? How have the Saints been helped? How have they been hurt after their bye week? We got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But first, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Roman. It can be awkward or embarrassing sometimes to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually, we brush it off, blame ourselves, but Roman is here to get you the advice that you want and the help that you need with no shame. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the privacy and comfort of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with two-day shipping for free. And to get started, it's simple. You just go to getroman.com/lockedon and complete the online visit. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to getroman.com/lockedon and get up to $50 off of your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's getroman.com/lockedon for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. Getroman.com/lockedon. All right, Huda Nation, continuing on with our episode today, our Monday episode here at Locked On Saints, taking a look around the rest of the NFC South. The Carolina Panthers end up losing their game. The Atlanta Falcons get their first win of the season, and the Green Bay Packers drop a game in embarrassing fashion to none other than the New Orleans Saints' biggest NFC South opponent, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll start there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers win this game, improved to 4-2, 38-10, and just absolutely demolished the Green Bay Packers offense. And this really was the Tampa Bay defense's game when you look at it, right? The Tampa Bay defense, a couple of picks. The Green Bay Packers had five straight possessions after they went up 10-0. They gained 1 yard and turned the ball over twice, including a pick six by Jamel Dean on yet another spray release and out route, the same type of concept that Michael Davis, if I remember correctly, from the Los Angeles Chargers picked off Tom Brady that way. Janoris Jenkins picked off Tom Brady that way. And now Jamel Dean picks off Aaron Rodgers that way. So interesting trend to see with some pick sixes coming off of those looks. But when it comes down to this game, there's a lot of conversation right now about how much of it really was the Tampa Bay defense and how much of it was a lack of performance by the Green Bay offense and, of course, the Green Bay defense. But we know that the Green Bay defense hasn't been fantastic so far this year. They've done enough in order to allow the Green Bay offense to continue to win, of course. But in this game, not so much. So it just wasn't a good game by them. They talked about practice habits at the end of the game, things like that. But you can't look over the production and the game that this Tampa Bay defense had. And over on the offensive side for Tampa Bay, they were able to do whatever they wanted because
Tom Brady was pressured only twice. Two pressures by the Green Bay Packers defense. So when you look at the way that Tampa Bay performed in that game, it shouldn't necessarily strike fear in the hearts of New Orleans Saints fans to see them take out one of the best collections of talent in the NFC in Green Bay Packers right now. Because remember, Green Bay Packers also had a pretty embarrassing loss last year where they only scored 8 points against the San Francisco 49ers coming off the bye week. This week, they only scored 10 points coming off the bye week and also give up 35 plus coming off that bye. So there's a couple things to consider here, but you can't completely discredit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who played a very good game. The defense was all over the place. They were more tenacious. They were more physical. They were more just intense, honestly. They had an intensity that Green Bay wasn't able to match. And that is where sort of the mental game comes into play. Green Bay was up 10-0, and then the pick six happened, and then everything went down from there. One side gets more confident, the other side gets less confident, and then that's how you end up with these lopsided victories in favor of the team that turns everything around. 28 points by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just in the second quarter. So again, I don't look at them and say, oh, all of a sudden they're a powerhouse, but I also don't look at them and say this was all Green Bay's fault, right? Tampa Bay played a role in this. So something to keep an eye out on as this Tampa Bay team gets more cohesive and gets more sort of coherent with one another, much like what we expect to see with the New Orleans Saints moving forward. So Tampa Bay's win over the Green Bay Packers means a couple of things for the Saints. It does give the Saints a little bit of an advantage against the Green Bay Packers. Even though the Green Bay Packers have a head-to-head win over the New Orleans Saints, if the conference ends up in a three-way tie, head-to-head wins aren't calculated into that, but common opponents and conference opponents are. So that is good news for the Saints, because their one loss that is a conference loss is also a head-to-head loss. Their other loss is a loss to an AFC team. Meanwhile, Green Bay's only loss is to an NFC team that is a common opponent that the Saints beat. So that's something to keep in mind for the way, way in the future, getting closer and closer to playoff time, weeks 16, 17, and what I believe will eventually be a week 18 as well in the NFL. But it does complicate matters for the division, because not only do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now have just simply a better record than the New Orleans Saints at 4-2 with the Saints at 3-2. And of course, Tampa hasn't taken their bye week yet. The Saints coming off their bye week, yada, yada. So you understand all that. But it does mean that the Buccaneers do have a common opponent win over the New Orleans Saints, and they have a conference opponent win as well that the Saints don't have, right? So that does create some issues for the Saints. Now, of course, the Saints right now own the tiebreaker over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if they're ever tied again, or once they're tied again, hopefully, when it comes to their records, then the Saints would still be atop the Tampa Bay Buccaneers most immediately within the division. But if they were to split their series, as the Saints will take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in just a few weeks here, if they were to split the series, then because of this win, Tampa Bay at this moment would own a tiebreaker over the Saints by having beaten a common opponent that beat the Saints. So that's just something to keep in mind. The Saints need to make sure that they do not split the series with the Bucs. They need to sweep it like they did last year, which was kind of uncharacteristic for the series. The series had almost always been a split here recently, but the Saints were able to sweep it last year. They need to be able to do the same thing this year in order to create maximum distance between themselves and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers within the division. Now, the Carolina Panthers would go on to lose their game to the Chicago Bears. It really wasn't a lights out performance by either one of these teams, to say the absolute least. We were all NFC North fans yesterday, but the Panthers dropped their game 23-16 to the now 5-1 Chicago Bears. Carolina Panthers are 3-3. So that means that the Saints sit comfortably in second place. And if they win their next game against the Carolina Panthers, they'll open up a pretty good margin between the two, as the Saints would then improve to 4-2. And then the Carolina Panthers would drop to 3-4. So a week 7 win against the Carolina Panthers for the New Orleans Saints is, of course, a huge deal for them. And then the Atlanta Falcons won their game against the Minnesota Vikings 40-23 to improve to 1-5. So simply, who gives a crap? Who cares? 1-5. Sorry for you, Atlanta. But good for them winning their first game without Dan Quinn, because if you had any questions left about whether or not Dan Quinn was actually the problem, Raheem Morris coming in, taking over as your interim coach, and then beating the Vikings. I don't care that they're also 1-5, but getting a win at all, thumbs up. thumbs up to you, thumbs up to that organization for making the right choice, but I really hope they screw up their next coaching hire, just like they did the last one. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to dive into our look at some of the awards that I'm going to give the Saints, and I've also got some input from our friends over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group. We'll look at MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Most Improved, and a couple others. We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we get to that, I want to just remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. The improved Built Bar is even more deliciouser than it was before. They've got 6 new flavors on the market right now, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, as well as 12 OG flavors that you already know and love. And right now they have a special running for breast cancer awareness, the strawberry flavor. Every flavor is covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious person that's looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These are low calorie, low sugar, but high protein, high fiber, and great for the health conscious person and even for keto diets as well. And Built Bar has reset their promo code along with this relaunch. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last, but go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get 20% off of your order. Just use the promo code Locked On and get 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, Huda Nation, welcome back to today's episode of Locked On Saints. Just a reminder that we're here with you every single Monday through Friday, and I cannot thank you all enough for your continued support. Cannot thank you more than enough if you are a new listener. However it is and however long that you've been here, however it is that you're listening and however long you've been doing it, I appreciate you for being here. All right, let's dive into our final segment for today. We want to take a look at some sort of quarter season awards, right? We're now through the 6th week of the NFL. The Saints about to take on the Carolina Panthers in week 7. So we're back into game week mode here. By the way, that game, week 7, as most people should have expected, is taking place in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. They're not going to be able to get to Tiger Stadium a week after saying, hey, you know, we'd like to play in Tiger Stadium, right? Like it's going to take a little bit longer than that. And actually, the organization has kind of been saying that out loud for the last little bit. But that's, we now have official confirmation at this point that this game will take place in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, not in Baton Rouge at Tiger Stadium. So we'd have to look ahead to the next home game at which that would be have some potential. So let's go ahead and dive in now to the sort of quarter season awards is what I've been looking at. And so I put out an article over at Canal Street Chronicles taking a look at this, and I know that it's early to look at some of these things and to talk about like quarter season awards and everything, but I wanted to kind of highlight really my ideas around where some of these players have ranked so far in my mind going through the 2020 season. So before we get to my picks, let's jump over to Locked On Saints Facebook group. I went over this morning and I said, hey, working on today's episode, give me your MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Most Improved. The difference between Comeback Player of the Year and Most Improved, of course, being that Comeback Player of the Year is usually somebody that's bouncing back from an injury. They didn't finish the season before. And then Most Improved is just simply somebody that maybe is just somebody that performed poorly last year and then has shown improvement this year. It's not an official award with the NFL, but one that I thought I would add for our exercise here and that I also added for my article. So we'll start off with Tomas, who picked Alvin Kamara as both MVP and Offensive Player of the Year, which I have to tell you is pretty much what like everybody did. And then we've got Trey Hendrickson as Defensive Player of the Year. Trey Hendrickson, up until this week began, was tied for fifth in the NFL with 4.5 sacks. So he has been performing very well opposite Cam Jordan, and I think will continue to perform well now that Marcus Davenport is in the mix. Some of the things that they did against the Chargers on the defensive line, we haven't seen yet this season. And we've talked about all the combinations and configurations that they've done, but Marcus Davenport just opens up a whole new can of worms for the Saints defense. We'll be talking about that later on in the week. Comeback Player of the Year, he picked Alvin Kamara, and then Most Improved, Tre'Quan Smith. Then I've got Tyler Weathers, who asked a great question last week about the Saints and the run game and how much of it is them actually being good in the run game versus stopping, versus other teams just having to run against them. He's got, again, Alvin Kamara, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, DeMario Davis, Comeback Player of the Year, Alex Anzalone, and then Most Improved, Trey Hendrickson. I like those picks a lot. Let's look around and find some things that were different. Andrew Cummings actually chose Alvin Kamara as MVP, but then chose Offensive Player of the Year as either Eric McCoy or Emmanuel Sanders. Those are good picks for me. I like that a lot. Kenuri Cunningham picked Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins as the Defensive Player of the Year. Tre'Quan Smith getting a lot of love from everybody as Most Improved. And then we also have Sean Militello, who chose Alvin Kamara for MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year. So a lot of good selections here. Also, we've got Colin Bellew. Sorry, I don't want to leave him out. He actually chose Alex Anzalone as Comeback Player of the Year as well, and AK for both MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, all that stuff. So let's go ahead and dive into my picks. Thank you to everybody who contributed to that. I wanted to get other opinions more than just mine here. I tell you all the time, this is just as much your show as it is mine. So any chance that I get to get folks included, I want to do that. So I will tell you now, I did not pick Alvin Kamara for MVP. And there is one very good reason why. And it's because the MVP of the Saints right now should be Ryan Ramczyk. Here's why I say that. If you look at the game against the Detroit Lions where he had to leave in the fourth quarter, in that game, the Saints were averaging 3.9 yards per carry, including 4.4 and 4.6 by Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray in that game, respectively. After Ryan Ramczyk was out of that game, 2.9 yards per carry and a sack coming from that side. They were, the Saints, atrocious in the run game. They were not able to move the ball in the run game. They struggled in the passing game because of the pressure that was coming with Ethan Greenigan as opposed to Ryan Ramczyk. Ryan Ramczyk is absolutely the most valuable player for the Saints offense, because if Ryan Ramczyk is not in the game, the Saints offense can't do diddly poo. They cannot do squat. They can't do anything. It doesn't matter how good Alvin Kamara is. It doesn't matter how good Emmanuel Sanders and Drew Brees are becoming together. If Ryan Ramczyk ain't there, this offense ain't moving. Like, it's that simple. So that's one of the reasons why I picked Ryan Ramczyk for the most valuable player, because he is indeed the most valuable player for this offense. We've seen this offensive line now be still one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, despite having to shuffle out Andres Pete and Nick Easton and Cesar Ruiz and even Teron Armstead for a couple of plays. But there was no bigger factor than when they lost Ryan Ramczyk for a quarter. That is not going to be something that they want to see happen anymore. And even the Offensive Player of the Year, who I have selected as Alvin Kamara, wasn't able to produce with Ryan Ramczyk out of the game. Alvin Kamara didn't even play a game this week, and he still leads in yards from scrimmage. He still leads in all-purpose yards. He's still tied at the top for 7 total touchdowns in the NFL. He's still in the top 5, top 10 when it comes to receptions. He's right now top 5. He's number 5. So he's still up there in receptions as a running back. Alvin Kamara is absolutely your Offensive Player of the Year, not only for the New Orleans Saints, but also for the NFL. And he will get some non-QB MVP attention at the end of the season. Don't get me wrong, as long as he continues to produce at the level that he's producing so far. He had a quote-unquote down game last week where he put up 119 scrimmage yards, but unfortunately just didn't get into the end zone. But his scoring potential has been off the charts so far this season, and we can't ignore that. Defensive Player of the Quarter Year, if you will, I selected DeMario Davis. I was thinking about going Trey Hendrickson on this one, but look, this defense just doesn't defense without DeMario Davis, right? The D's in DeMario Davis's name don't just stand for DeMario Davis, they stand for defense, because if it wasn't for DeMario Davis, there would be no New Orleans Saints defense behind the defensive line. So I give that one to DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis is one of those guys that's so integral to the system that they couldn't even tell him, hey, take away Darren Waller, because if they did that, then it opened up the rest of the defense for the Las Vegas Raiders. So he's a pivotal part of this defense. Comeback Player of the Year for me so far is Alex Anzalone. He's been kind of up and down so far this season, but there's also not a lot of other options, right? Sheldon Rankins, just Marcus Davenport. Sheldon Rankins, though, had a good game on Monday against the Los Angeles Chargers. So keep an eye out on him to potentially be my midseason Comeback Player of the Year if he keeps that up. And then Most Improved, easily, Tre'Quan Smith. I picked a couple others here in terms of most concerning. Marshawn Lattimore has been very concerning, still allowing a perfect passer rating when targeted so far this season. And then, quote unquote, least valuable player, I had picked as Marcus Davenport just simply because of the fact that he wasn't on the field, right? Not least valuable like he's a bad player, but just literally he wasn't on the field. But now I'm going to have to start rethinking that one ahead of the midseason awards, because he got on the field when it came to the Los Angeles Chargers, and he was a big time piece to the amount of pressure that the Saints defensive line was able to get. So those are my quarter season New Orleans Saints awards so far, and as well as helped by some of our friends over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group. So we appreciate y'all with that. We'll revisit this again mid-season after week 8 to talk about the mid-season awards once the Saints are ideally 6-2, and we'll talk about it then. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Make sure you come back tomorrow. We'll start to dig into some of the analytics that tell us some new things and what we need to know about the Carolina Panthers. We've got our Film Watch Wednesday coming up. Remember to let me know what plays you want to look at from the Los Angeles Chargers game. I'll pick 3 of them, but I need your input on that on Facebook, on Twitter, via email, however it is. So tell me what 3 impactful plays from Monday you want to break down on Film Watch Wednesday, and we'll get to those. And then we get back to our crossover Thursday, and then we have our film Friday to where we take a look at the Carolina Panthers on tape. So we got all that coming up for you here throughout the week. I appreciate you as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.